I want to start by sharing a story with you, and it's a little bit of a confession as much as it is a, hopefully it'll help you to see where I'm going. And then I want to let you know that I'm probably going to speed through some of this because I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, because you do this every day. You interact with donors and listeners, but we're going to start doing this more effectively with your office managers. And hopefully some of your staff as well. So that's what I'm going to be focused on. You know how you get when you're focused on a task, you're busy, you really do not want to be interrupted, and the phone rings. And I answered the phone, and I told myself, it sounds really corny, but I said to myself, smile. And I answered the phone, and the guy on the other end expressed frustration with a donor issue, which is quite honestly mostly why they call us. And he shared that there was an issue with his receipt. He didn't quite understand why one of his gifts was not on there. So I helped him to understand that he would be getting another receipt, all that said and done in 45 seconds. Well, his next comment is what really got my attention. It doesn't make me look good. I just got lucky. But his comment to me was, "You sound like a really nice person." And I instantly thought, oh God, forgive me, because I'm really sitting here thinking, dude, do you know how many things I have to do? He went on for the next 15 minutes and shared with me about losing his wife. He shared with me about how lonely he was, how scared he was. He shared with me that he was facing having to move because he couldn't afford to keep his home. And it instantly got my attention that what we do is way more than just processing a receipt. It's more than stuffing an envelope. It's more than, you know, processing a credit card. It goes much deeper than that. And this is where your office managers come in as well, because they help us with a lot of that stuff. But what I realized that day was he ended with, thank you for being willing to listen, because I'm sure you're busy. And those were his exact words. He got it. He knew that we had other things to do. And I just assured him that, you know, I was happy to talk with him, which by the end of the conversation I was, and I felt very guilty. But I also told him that we would be praying for him. And you need to know that that's not a representation of me. That is something I hear in my office from my staff at least once a week, if not more, with donors. I hear the conversation get longer and longer, and yes, sometimes they're kind of rolling their eyes like, wow. Because you hear from people who call and want you to find a home for their cat. You know, it's like, well, I'm not sure we can do that. But the bottom line is, it's showing that you care about that other person. So again, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but we're going to talk for just a few minutes about listener-donor interaction and how we do that from where I am, and how I can help your office managers to do that as well. And I have never done this before, so bear with me. We're all going to learn this little process together. So why do we want to do this? Why improve listener-donor interaction? Well, first of all, you're going to fulfill the PAR mission and vision. If we really are trying to be light in a dark world and be Christ-like in all our interactions, then that's why this is important. Because if they get a grouchy, fussy, negative person answering the phone, it's not really going to create a good situation.
That's why.
You're going to live out the core values of excellence, innovation, talking with the office managers. Can we simplify a process? Is there a way that we can streamline something? You're going to show integrity with your donors. You're going to ensure them that their credit card information is protected, that they don't have to worry about it going to someone else or you going on Amazon and buying whatever. We're going to show that we are truly people-focused, and we're going to prove that we do value relationships. And that's something that I really do want to work with your office managers on. So why improve? Again, this is something that I can't even pretend to tell you where I learned this, but there's the old saying that if someone has a good experience with you, they might tell one person. Maybe two. If they have a bad experience with you, they're going to tell everybody on their street, in their town. They're going to be communicating that, oh, you don't want to deal with those people. It was a horrible experience. We hope that if a donor has a good experience with us, they'll continue to give. And I can pick on Geneva because she's not here to defend herself. But we have a donor who I hope we'll hear from him again. But he called every month, like clockwork, to give his $50 by credit card so that he could talk with Geneva. If he called, he asked for her specifically, but they had established a bond. It wasn't that she said anything special. He often just asked about the weather. Yeah, we teased her about it mercilessly. But
he just thinks she retired.
Don't tell her secret. But they had a connection. He felt comfortable because the first time he had called, he spoke with Geneva. So he felt comfortable giving his credit card information. I remember one time she even mentioned to him that he could go online and do this himself. She told him that he could set it up with her that day so he would not have to call. His exact words to her were, "I'm housebound and it's really nice to have someone to talk to." That's when you know you've made an inroad and you're doing the right thing. If you give the donor a negative experience, like I said, they are going to find somewhere else to donate their dollars. And I don't blame them. And again, the bottom line, we want to be the place that K-Love wishes they could be. We want our donors to be so happy that they want to interact with us. So how will we do this? I just thought they were cute.
I love that.
These are some of the measurables. We're going to work together in ongoing training with office managers. We're going to provide excellent interaction with our listeners and donors. And we're going to have measurable goals.
Hang on a second. Look at that one book.
Gourmet Goldfish. Don't y'all love that? Yeah, 100 Great Fish Recipes.
100 Great Fish Recipes.
You got to admit you like it. So like I said, we're going to work together on this, and that's very important to me. It's not me versus Spirit's office manager or me versus CQR's. If Share-a-thons work, they work because all of us are working together. We'll talk about that again in just a minute. I'm really excited about doing a quarterly conference call with office managers. We may decide we want to do this monthly. We'll just see. I'd love to be able to talk with them and see what's going on. When heads come together, ideas are swapped. One of the things that I know that by all of us putting our heads together, and we're still processing this and you're all going to groan, is Share-a-thon premiums. They are such a monster, and everybody wonders, are we doing it right? Why are people slipping through the cracks? Why did someone not get a t-shirt or a CD or whatever? So them talking together amongst themselves, Spirit's office manager can share what works for her. CQR's office manager, Lori, can share, well, this is how we make it work. And they're doing something right, because we don't get a whole lot of calls, but we'll just leave it there.
We'll share what doesn't work.
I didn't say that. We will review the basics for interacting with listeners and donors. It sounds corny, but you need to sound cheerful. You need to sound engaged. You do not need to sound distracted or annoyed that donor has called, even if you are, and you are. Because we all have those days where we're just so busy, the last thing we need is a phone call. We'll review the Denari software system. There are some things that we will be doing differently. And this kind of tags onto the next one. We'll offer assistance with Share-a-thon. And a lot of that is we work with your office managers to help make Denari work. I want you all to please make sure that you re-communicate this to your office managers. I have told them all personally, and they've all done the, thank God, because he'd kill me. There were zero duplicates from this last round of Share-a-thons. And that's your office managers. But they watch for the rollover pledges. They make sure that when their volunteers are keying pledges, they're not putting in two $200 a month pledges if it's only supposed to be one and it's $100 one time. They're the ones that make that happen. So we help each other with that. We watch for decline credit cards and that kind of thing. We'll standardize deposit reports. And Jerry alluded to this earlier. The reason this kind of stuff is so important, you have a donor, call the donor support center. They have given a gift of $1,000, let's say, as an example, to the local station. It got deposited in the bank, but the home office never found out that there was a $1,000 gift. So it didn't get posted to the donor's account from our end. They get that monthly donor statement, and it's inaccurate. When that donor calls, it kind of stings to have to say, I do not see your gift. And then they respond to you with, well, you sure did deposit it. And those were the exact words. I mean, so it happens. We're not saying that we're always going to be perfect because mistakes happen. But as much as we can, we're going to get to where we know. I love that certain office managers fax me a deposit report on the same day every week, be it zero donations or 200 donations. I know that that day I can watch for a deposit report, and we're going to be able to get those put into our system so that we can receipt in a timely manner as well. So that's why we're going to work on that. I know we've said a lot about excellence, but excellence is good. So that's what we're going to work on. And these are some more of the things that, again, I'm kind of flying through this because I do feel like I'm telling you things you've known for a long time. Your office manager, I want to ingrain in their brain, they are the listener-donor interaction specialist. They are the person that is going to be able to assist that donor, listen to that listener. It's not necessarily always geared towards someone who's giving a gift. It could just be someone who's listened for a really long time, and they just need a friendly ear. They heard something on your station that triggered the need to make a phone call. They have a prayer request. So when they call, it's all about first impressions. And again, I can't harp on it enough, the tone of voice that they get when the phone's answered. And we'll talk about that again in just a minute. I want them to be able to answer listeners, donors' questions and address concerns. I don't want us to look like we really don't have a clue what we're doing. We're just answering the phone. And if you don't know, because sometimes we just don't, we'll be willing to find a solution to the listener and donor issue in a timely manner. That means within that week, preferably within 2 to 3 days, you're getting back to that donor and giving them a concrete solution. Talk a little bit about the phone, and this one I'm bracing for the eyebrows to raise. The phone needs to be answered by the third ring at the latest. So that means somebody in your station needs to be obviously near the phone. Avoid putting the listener or donor on hold unless absolutely necessary. So this is where teamwork comes into play. Your office managers need to know what's going on at your station. They need to know what events are coming. So if a listener or donor calls and wants more information, they don't have to say, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. They need to know that information so they can give it to the donor without having to have them wait 5 minutes while they track down 6 people to find out who has that information. Avoid transferring a call. And this is something that I'm excited about. Now that the basics of Denari have sunk in for everybody, we want them to be able to go into Denari, and if it's a pledge issue, walk through that pledge with them. The fewer transfers, the better. How many of you honestly can say you love being transferred from one department to another department? Then they hang up on you, and you have to call back, and then you have to be transferred again. And then when you finally get through, you have to repeat for the fourth time why you're calling. You see where I'm going with this? Sometimes we are going to be better than Microsoft.
None of their computers work, and I don't know what to do.
This is the one that I'm afraid is going to be tough, and I get that, but avoiding the use of general office voicemail during office hours. So basically what I'm saying is somebody in your office needs to be assigned to the phone at all times, and someone who can fit this criteria. If your office manager is a part-timer, I get that he or she is not going to be there 8 hours a day. But if she's not, then she needs to have a go-to person who is answering that phone. I will tell you that probably the second most used complaint that we get, I have answered calls. Good morning, Positive Alternative Radio. This is Kayla. The very first thing I get, you know, I am so tired of calling X station, and I get a selection of choices that I have to go through, and they just go off. No, hello, how are you, or can you help me? They're just very frustrated because they can't speak to a live person, or they've left a voicemail and then they've not gotten a response. That's when it's really pleasant.
Would you be horribly offended if I said something to reinforce your point?
Okay.
I call a lot of radio stations, as you might know. If you guys will live answer your phones, you will stand out from among the vast herd of radio stations. And your listeners deserve it. They've been giving you money out of their hard-earned paycheck, and they deserve to get a person when you call. The voicemail crap that I have to go through, I'm at the point where I will almost always, especially clients, get somebody's cell phone number and call them on their cell phone, because you can't get through some of these voicemail systems. And I just think it's rude. And I think that you can, there are ways to do this. You can get volunteers. There are little retired ladies in your market. There are people that want to do something useful. I have a very good friend who's a quadriplegic. He answers the phone at our church 3 days a week. There are ways you can find people to answer the phone for you, and they would love it. KSBJ has an entire ministry where they answer the phone and they help people. They have all the songs that were played. They have all the resources. Every spot that's run on KSBJ is, and it's a volunteer ministry, and they have a full-time person that runs it. I'm not saying you have to go to that level, but this is a ministry opportunity that you're missing, and it's worth investing time and resources into.
Do you suggest having somebody there during the morning shows that will answer phones? Because that's probably part of the problem. A lot of times they'll hear live voices, people at the radio station. They're getting together content and editing calls and stuff, so the phones ring a lot.
These are usually midday, honestly. It's usually between, well, I mean, I can't say the time that they tried their first call. That could be some of it. But these are people who, in several cases, this is all I can speak to, they have called us wanting a song title. Now, I'm sorry, I can't keep up with all your formats and all your, I've had more people sing to me, and it is so much fun, and thank God for a mute button. Because you are just cracking up. You'll answer the phone and they just start singing. And you're like, well, hello, do you do? So they call us. This is just an example. We listen to their song and then they say, can you tell me what the title is and who sings it? Well, you do very well, but no, I can't. We will give them your toll-free number. It's 10:30 in the morning. I'm sorry, I'm going to be very blunt. Never, not me. Somebody should be answering that phone at 10:30 in the morning.
Yep.
They call that station, they get a voicemail, they call us back. Now they're aggravated because they've gone through this whole process. Well, you gave me the wrong number, I guess, or I don't know why nobody's answering the phone. I'm very sorry. Let me take that information and we'll try and get back to you soon. I understand that some of you, and I thank Jerry for saying that, I know that some of you have weekly staff meetings. You want everybody in your staff meeting. I know how it feels. It's like Murphy's Law. You sit down, you start the meeting, and the phone rings. It's just the way it is. That's when your volunteers would be really good. Yeah. They could come in, they could take the phone. It's still a live person that they're getting to talk to. And then that afternoon, somebody on your staff can get back to whoever called and get back with them in a timely manner. It's just the irritation of press 1, press 6. And if you're like me, I've forgotten what 1 was by the time I get to 6. So it eliminates some of that.
We, in MHK, we had a homeschool kid who wanted to do an internship. And we didn't do internships. We didn't have a problem. We didn't have a policy for that. And it was a high school kid. And, you know, we just didn't want to do it. Drug her feet. And so finally, his dad called, his mom called. It's just, you know how they wear you out after a while. And I said, look, okay, here's the deal. If you'll get your kid here at 5 o'clock in the morning for the morning show, they can answer the phone during the morning show and help our talent out, addressing the issue Frankie brought up. They brought this kid for the entire semester, every morning at 5 o'clock. He was a great kid. He ended up going to the Bible college, and I think he's a part-timer at the radio station now. He's awesome. It was like, I can't promise it's always going to work out like that.
Right.
But Steve and Amy loved having the help because he turned out to be like a producer for the show. I mean, he was pulling show prep for him, and he was, you know, making sure that this was going and that was going, and welcoming artists in. And, you know, just there was much more of a need for that than I would have thought. So throw that out there. Frankie,
huh?
How many songs are on your playlist?
230.
Print out a list of all 230 of them. Google all the lyrics. 230 lyrics are in there. That's the songs tab. A copy of every spot that's run, the copy of it that goes in there. What else? Concert dates, concert calendar.
Mm-hmm. Underwriter names, business names, locations.
All that goes into this book of knowledge. It's hard to put together the first time. But keeping it up to date is not a hard thing.
I could put it online, maybe.
Put it online, yeah, make it searchable. But a 3-ring binder is just the low-tech way of doing it. Your receptionist has one. Any volunteer that comes in has one. It's tabbed so they can find everything.
Yeah.
It's just an easy way of doing it. And it's amazing once you go to the process of doing that. I find that I was the general manager. Where's the book of knowledge? I need to look that up. I'm not sure if I know. You know, it was amazing. You know, you really found out.
Especially for like underwriters' phone numbers and things like that.
Yeah.
And all to be in one convenient place.
Yeah, that is a great idea.
Or you can't remember somebody's name or something. You know,
yeah.
Who does sing that song? I'm not sure. You know.
Mm-hmm. So we are, it's going to sound cheesy, but we are going to institute specific ways that we want them to answer the phone. The first thing that needs to come out of their mouth is thank you for calling listener supported and the station name. You would not believe the number of donors who call us and have no idea who you are. Mm-hmm. Well, it's par. Seriously, that's what they say to us. And I know this is no criticism of anybody in here because it's comical for us because we listen to your stations. We often log on just to see what's going on and how things are and what your latest promos are and everything. We go through the whole gamut with them. Well, where do you live? Well, then it's fun because it could be 3 choices to choose from, or all of you for some cases. So then we narrow it down to, can you give me your last name? And we end up having to go through. What I'm trying to say is, when they call you, make sure that they're getting in their head, first of all, you're thankful that they called and who they're calling. So they'll learn that it's Positive Hits. But they'll still call us and say, well, I don't know, 89 point, which we have umpteen stations that have 89 point. So that's going to help, we hope. And then also as important is, again, when they end the call with you, you thank them for calling. You can't say thank you too many times. Thank them for calling, supporting, and listening to WCQR. If you have any additional questions or concerns, don't hesitate to call me. So you're leaving the door open for a future interaction with them, hopefully. But
something in just for consideration, because you may not want to make a commitment to this, but I have interacted with an organization that answers the phone every time. Hi, this is Barry. I can help you.
Ooh.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling Spirit FM. This is Barry. I can help you. I can help you.
Not can I help you.
I can help you.
Yeah.
And I just thought, wow, what a commitment. You know, and at what point do they say, well, I guess I was wrong. What's the question?
Oh, maybe we don't want to say that.
What's wrong with
all right, well, this is being recorded, so this will go on record because I am never wrong in my husband's eyes. But I have to apologize to Brian because he actually wanted it to say that. And he wanted it to say those exact words. And I said, that's too long and it's too much to have to say when you answer the phone. But I think, again, it's just learning to be excellent. Mm-hmm. And if we learn to say it and it rolls off your tongue.
And let's say this. Let's let Kayla and the office managers work together. And if they want to tweak this a little bit,
sure.
Let's trust them to do that.
I agree.
So that's
good. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Our governor started making them answer the phones. It's a great day in South Carolina. And it went all over the media, and everybody hates it, and she got made fun of so much. But
all right, well, we'll make sure we're not all over the media for y'all's sake.
Yeah, nobody likes it. It wasn't bad.
Exactly. I don't know where it came from. Let's talk about email for just a second. Again, I think it's just something that we could fine tune just a little bit. I don't know about you, but if someone asks me a question, my tendency is just to instantly answer that question. Just hit the specific detail and be done with it and hit send. In the email, the first thing I want them to do is to express gratitude for that person emailing them. Basically, just thank you for your email. You don't have to go into War and Peace, and you don't have to share all the details of your life. To show that you really read what they wrote, restate their question or concern. Just say, I wanted to address, and then, again, we're not looking for a novel. And then factually, respectfully address their question and concern, and offer an opportunity for follow-up if needed. In some ways, that may mean that you need to also make sure that they know your toll-free number, because some people, like me, I'd rather pick up the phone at some point than do 16 emails back and forth. So give them that option, that if they would rather call you and they can get an answer a lot more quickly, give them that option as well. I guess my biggest gripe that we want to get away from, again, seeming distracted, and we don't have time for this listener or donor. So we just give the bare minimums and we go on. And I know email etiquette is constantly evolving and changing, but it's taking that extra minute or two to show that that person matters to us and that they're important. So, again, this is so redundant for you all. But when you're thanking the donor, it sounds cheesy, but it does not hurt to put a smile in your voice. They will tell. They will be able to tell that you sound cheery when you're on the phone with them. They are not an interruption, ever. That's the key thing I want all of us who answer phones on a regular basis to communicate to our listeners and our donors. They have not disturbed us in any way, even if they have, which 9 times out of 10 they have. But it needs to be a good interruption. And then communicate to them their value. For example, Joy FM would not be here without the faithful and generous support of our listeners and donors. We are so thankful for you. So you can't say that enough to the people who are, they're giving to you, they're calling you.
Do what, Daniel?
And then the next thing, well, then play that song.
We get some of that too. I had a guy call me right before Christmas, and it was your station, I'm afraid to say. And he made it clear to me that he had given you all $1,500 during Share-a-thon, and it was with the stipulation, and we're recording this, aren't we, that you would play a specific song that he asked for. And he just wanted to let me know that he had not heard it yet. I was like, okay. So, you know, this picture just says it all. Because I don't know, but they're scary, and we all deal with people like this. So, and this
That's
is where
Photoshop.
I'd say we're going to talk for just a second about complaints and hostile donors, because it's going to happen. And I'll be honest with you, there are days where we feel like all we are is the complaint department. That from the moment we arrive until the moment we leave, we've had nothing but negative comments. But this is where, honestly, this is where we earn our keep. Because my goal is that by the time I end that call with them, they're no longer mad or frustrated. We've solved the problem. They're happy. And they're thinking positive thoughts again about your station. That's the goal. So, first of all, obviously, and we'll fly through this because you could do this in your sleep, but we'll express sorrow that they are unhappy. We'll communicate steps to resolve their issue. Again, we thank them for calling. And we offer to follow up. Sometimes this is where it may mean that the manager needs to get involved. Because if they're that upset, I'm not going to tell the office managers that they have to make promises they can't keep. It may be that they actually need to hear from you in person, and you're the one that's going to smooth it over. We're not always going to be miracle workers. You know, I I will take to heart what you said. I often do say blanket emails to all of you if there is an issue, and it may not relate to you at all, but I want to bring it to your attention so you can be watching for it. But what I do as well tend to do, and I will make sure I do it better, if it was your specific station, I will follow up with you as the manager and say, hey, sorry. I just always feel bad because I don't want you thinking you're being picked on. So let's just make that rule from here. Nobody's being picked on or singled out. But if it was your station, I will give you a call personally and say, hey, this person was really ticked. So, and that way, you know, it goes a long way if they get a little note card from you saying, hey, you know what, we goofed, but you matter. We're thankful for you. Hopefully this won't happen again, and this is what we've done to prevent it in the future.
Otherwise, it's generic. It's like, was it me?
Yeah.
You know, was it us? Did we blow it here? And so that way,
yeah.
You're not offending us. You're helping us.
Yeah. You know? Just don't take it personally. But we will let you know. Hey, you know.
We never take it personal when we screw up.
We don't either, because we do it so often. We being me.
Slow.
Sometimes you're going to have situations that are just completely hair-raising. So the key thing I want them to understand is do not get defensive, because that's just second nature when someone's coming at you and they're screaming at you. Hear them out, and that's important, because sometimes we don't. We're thinking of our response because we're like, let me tell you a thing or two. But they really need to actually listen and hear what the problem is. Again, communicate how sorry we are. And then if necessary, again, you may have to hand it off to your office manager, to your station manager, sorry, and let that person follow up for you. So I feel bad going through this step by step, but I want you to know the actionable steps that we're going to take with your office managers. To me, this kind of stuff is common sense, but I'm not going to say it is for everybody. You know, it might be that it clues in for someone. So really quickly, our goals are going to be that we will train and mentor your office managers. Basically, I will be their sounding board. I will help them to find solutions to things, to problem solve. We'll put our heads together as a team. That's very important to me. We'll be a team of people who can vent to each other, come up with solutions, better processes, systems. Again, we'll talk about basics of interaction with listeners and donors. We'll review Denari, and I'm sure we'll have a few gripe sessions about that. Assistance with Share-a-thon. And actually, let me back up for just a sec really quickly. These two tied in together. Some key things that we are very quickly going to discuss is how to implement e-receipting, because that is coming very quickly. So we'll be working together on that. Also in Denari, we'll be working to use the e-acknowledgement feature, so they won't be sending out as many paper acknowledgements, so we'll train each other on how to do that. We'll be looking at ways to tweak, because I get why it's a problem, and I won't bore you with the details of why that information is on there, but for those of you who have rollover donors, the acknowledgement that goes out for them, yes, it does have a start date and an end date to the pledge, which is very frustrating because you bang your head against the wall on air saying, as an ongoing monthly donor, you never end. Then we send them this pledge acknowledgement and it has a start time and a stop time. So they're getting this conflicting message. We're going to work to problem solve that, because the way it pulls in Denari, I'm not 100% sure we can get that start and stop date off because of the type of, but I'm going to talk with the programmers, see what we can do, and we'll work on that. So those are the kind of things that I know are important to them, and we're going to together as a team, we're going to come up with solutions. Again, we'll standardize reports so that all information is shared and it's where it needs to be in a timely fashion, and we'll work on training on the phone and email. And his big, hairy, audacious goal. As a team, if we do each of these tasks in an excellent office managers will help us in achieving the goal of being so good that K-Love will wish they were us.